Hello everyone, this is Callie Beard of KarmicTools.com, and tonight is our monthly community event. And right before I take a break for October and November, so I should say that up front as well, we'll be back in December. I have a lot of ancestor work to do, but tonight we're gathered for the asteroids and the sacred feminine, and I realized I just put up all the 2024 schedule, y'all, for the free community event. We're going to get together again on the asteroids in March, I believe. So tonight's going to be very special, and we're going to end up checking back in about 6 months with it. So deep breath. Let's get present as I invite our benevolent angels and loving ancestors, powerful orishas that guide our lives, personal animal guides and helping spirits to be with us tonight. We each have a powerful, invisible team of support, and it's even more potent when we bring them together like this. So welcome, everyone. Let's take an initial breath, deep breath in, to connect above, below, and at the heart. Deep breath in. And hold and release. We're opening up to that quality nutrient and clear wisdom and guidance that is just for you. This is, when I say above, below, and at the heart, I mean your earth star and your soul star chakras, where you plug in to source energy so that it's clean and through your own filters and no one else. Let's start at the heart chakra, honoring the direction of east, an initiation point where we access the inner wisdom of the mind and the element of air. So we're going to breathe very deeply here as if we're breathing through and from our hearts. We want to picture a beautiful emerald green crystal infused with light from within and spinning brightly. Deep breath in, expanding the heart. And hold and release. Come on down to your power center, where we honor the direction of south, a culmination point, and where we access the inner wisdom of spirit and the element of fire. So here I want you to picture a beautiful golden yellow crystal infused with light from within and spinning brightly, and take a deep cleansing breath in at your power center. Deep breath in. And hold and release. Come on down to your creative center, your sacral chakra, where we honor the direction of west, a completion point, and where we access the inner wisdom of the soul and the element of water. Here I want you to picture your favorite shade of orange crystal infused with light from within and spinning brightly. And take a deep breath in, connecting to your own energetic flow and creative flow. Deep breath in. And hold and release. Come on down to the root chakra, where we honor the direction of north, a conception point, and where we access the inner wisdom of the body and the element of earth. And we be here now. Here I want you to picture a beautiful ruby red crystal infused with light from within and spinning brightly. And take a deep cleansing breath in at your own base, making that connection. Deep breath in. And hold and release. Okay, welcome, welcome everyone. We're going to get into some stuff tonight, honey. And we got some juicy divinations from the African Goddess Rising Oracle. I did a release and reclaim for each one of our four sacred feminine divine ladies that we're going to talk about tonight. Let me just start real quick before I dive into each one. Just saying how much these ladies have changed my life and got me on track with some personal rhythms, okay? And this is even for the men, just because this is the sacred feminine energy, there's still parts of them that nurture, parts of them that partner, parts of them that have their sacred wisdom and healing capacity, you know? Everyone's got this somewhere in their chart. But especially for women navigating the world, I have learned that knowing these ladies' rhythm and knowing where they're at in the sky is a good thing. It is very helpful. Like I said, it fills in a few blanks when the main planets are zipping around doing their thing and we're finding that let's say, common information out there in the world to tell us about these energies, there's not a lot out there on asteroids, but they're getting bigger and they're getting more and more famous as we go. I know when I first came into it, nobody even wanted to really talk about it too much except my people. Like, we were into it, but the rest of the world was like, nah, that's too much detail, too much detail. But now I've attracted a bunch of trackers, so you all do care about these details. So knowing each one, knowing what they activate in your own chart is helpful. Almost all of us have them conjunct another planet. So it's like these ladies work really closely with certain things. So I'll use myself as an example. I have exact degree conjunction between Pallas and Uranus, 25 degrees Virgo. I have exact conjunction of Ceres, the mother, and Juno, the wife, in Libra. And I have an exact conjunction of Vesta and Saturn in Aries. So that means Vesta and Saturn brings in my sacred reality, and I just can't do it any other way. It's just how I roll. And the conjunct Uranus is my wisdom and this connection to astrology and alternative information and education, right? So you start to realize what they're contributing in your life based on what they're near or what they activate in your chart. So that's really good information to have. And for those of you, I mean, most of you that are my core group here have all gotten your Astro Tarot reading. But if you're new to the circle or new to the community, that's the one where we go into your cycles and I give you enough of a little bit of these ladies to get you going and get you started. So that's included in that reading. But for up in the sky, we all have access. And they all have a 4 to 5 year cycle. And one of the other ways that it got put on my radar pretty strongly started in 2015 when 3 out of 4 initiated new cycles, and that was the wife Kelly, individual Kelly, and mother Kelly. And what I tell people is that over the years, these ladies reboot every 4 to 5 years all the time. But if I was caught up in parenthood and working and life and humans and family and things to do, it wasn't such a big deal. It was like, okay, I get it. I've reset. Let me think about how I nurture myself. Let me think about what I'm healing. Let me think about what's sacred to me. And I would upgrade with the cycles because y'all know me. I love my cycles. But it didn't crash my world until my son was out of the house. And individual wife and mother all reset, and I had to redefine it almost from zero at that point. And literally 2020, when I finally came out of that 5 years later, feeling good about myself and knowing who I am, the whole world crashed. So it's just, you know, life, honey. It's still good to know these ladies, so let's dive in. Ceres is our kickoff. She's got a 5 year cycle. She covers the issues of self-worth and self-esteem, relationships with your parents and children. So those real close, those intimate relationships, those direct connections, attachment, dependency, loss, separation, rejection, and grief, sharing, work, and productivity. These are all under Ceres's domain. And Ceres is the goddess of agriculture, the goddess of the Eleusinian rites, the Earth Mother. So that's who we go to for nourishment and nutrient. This is how we nurture others and how we like to be nurtured. If you're looking at your chart, that's what Ceres represents. Up in the sky, we start turning around looking at these other things, self-esteem and loss and separation. So one of the ways you all can remember that know your astrology is the signs associated with Ceres are Cancer, Virgo, and the Taurus-Scorpio polarity. So we know that these four signs are all wrapped up in here. So look, Taurus is our self-worth and self-esteem. Cancer is our relationships to our parents and children and attachment and dependency. Loss, separation, rejection, and grief is probably Scorpio. Sharing, work, and productivity, that's Virgo all day. So you can start to feel the energy that Ceres represents based on the signs you know as well, right? And in the book, the Bible that I use is called Asteroid Goddesses, and it's Demetra George and Douglas Block. And it'll be in the postcall goodies, so you all can find it if you want it. What's great about the book, too, is there's an ephemeris in the back. And for those of you who don't know what an ephemeris is, it's how you find out what sign they're in and whether they're retrograde or direct. So it's good info to have, and they probably have new copies that have way further in the future years than my old book does, because my book is falling apart. It's so old. So when we're thinking of Cirrus, those polarities of anger and compassion, we want to feel into that. How's that going for you these days? What's happening in your world? We're running all these things I'm going to talk about tonight through your own filter and what's going on for you. Cirrus's symbols, I know some of you see in symbols, is the sickle and plow, wheat and corn, the crane bird, which I do have a direct relationship with, poppy seed, the animal pig, and a torch. Now, there's a couple of them in here that have torch. Vesta's a torch, because she's the sacred flame. I thought I saw it in almost all of them. So, you know, keeping that flame alive. But these are her personal Cirrus symbols, right? So we look at all that to sort of understand what she represents. And that can help you filter things as well, and how you might want to deal with her. So let's say you are a mother of 5 kids, and you know, I quit after one. So my internal mother is great, but she also got to go on and do other things. But if you're one of those highly nurturing types, let's say, Cirrus is who you want to pay attention to so that you can learn how to get your own needs met as well. How do you like to be nurtured? And we all need to recalibrate that balance every now and then as well. So the way this whole night is going to unfold is I basically cover each one in their issues and these little basics I just covered, and then what they're all doing either recently or about to do very soon so that we can prepare. So some of this information is going to be things that we've already, dates that have already happened. So we have a little hindsight and we're going to know what we went through to get here. But there's many more dates in the future for 2024, which is why meeting again in March or April or whatever I scheduled it is going to be a great thing, because we'll be able to follow up on the work we initiate tonight. So I love that. Now, Cirrus has been spending September 22 to September 23, which is exactly where we are now, retrograding and lingering in Virgo Libra. So I've talked about that a lot on the weekly forecast. So again, for my new people, there'll be ways for you to get more information on this. But in general, the way I've laid it out was that we needed to go backwards in Libra so that we could go forward in Virgo. So if we went backwards in Libra, we were correcting imbalances around our self-worth and self-esteem, our relationships to our immediate people, processing any deaths and losses and things going on at work, with work. And lots of people in my circle I know have been changing jobs or want to change jobs or been questioning their job, all that, which is a very retrograde thing to do, right? So we go backwards in Libra to recalibrate the balance of nourishment and nurturing that's happening. How much are you taking care of yourself? How much are you taking care of others? And we have to do a clearing. That's what a retrograde helps us do. It helps us reset. And if we could reset, then we could go direct in Virgo and have more functionality, to have more order and organization, to be more healthy. Virgo has to do with your body and your physical systems. So these relationships and the way we over-nurture or under-nurture, whatever it is that's going on in that department, has been so out of whack that now it's affecting our health. So we need to be mindful of that as well. And then the idea of knowing where she lingered is, and you all know me, what does she do next? Well, now she's going to spend September to November, basically September 15th, we're meeting on September 14th, to November 25th. She's going to be moving through Scorpio. And as she does that, she's going to be mixing it up with some other planets, and we're going to talk about that in a minute. Because what I want to talk about first is I want to continue on the retrograde, what I'm calling the retro rewire, is what I put in my notes. Because this is who she touched while she was backwards in either Virgo or Libra. Okay? What's interesting to me on this one is that because of her retrograde, because she lingered there, she did a whole number of things here, y'all. So I just made notes. On December 18th of 22, that was the end of the year. Forgive me, y'all. December was the Pisces Virgo one. February is the Aries Libra one. That's what that is. So December, she opposed at 29 degrees, which is magical and special. And then she did it again when she was in Libra. So this tells me that she's changing the story in both departments here. We're changing the story around the self versus other piece and what's healthy, good for your systems, and also keeps you connected in your body and spirit. Like, you have to feed your body and your spirit when we're dealing with Virgo Pisces. But the ultimate, the outcome, first hits Pisces Virgo, second hit February 5th was Aries Libra. The final hit's coming up October 16th, 2023, when it gets out of here and she's in Scorpio, opposing Jupiter in Taurus. So all three Jupiters, all three oppositions, which means a push-pull between each other and having to balance that out, going through certain extremes. And how is that working for you in terms of your beliefs and the story you're telling, the whole Jupiter representation? Also, I think always working with Jupiter has to do with improvements. So let's say we initially want to recalibrate the body and spirit piece, what's healthy for us as individuals, and what we intuit as necessary and needed, right? Then we went through the process of recalibrating what we believe is possible for self versus other, for you within the context of your relationships. And can we please tell a new story, because now I've healed some things and integrated some things, and let's do this another way. And it's going to go on to graduate as she goes forward and gets out of there after the recalibration of all that, to go to Taurus Scorpio, which is very much getting your needs met, right? Your primal needs, your sexual needs, your nourishment needs, your money needs, all of that. I love it. So if we can change our mind, I think the rest will follow. And it's like, what do you believe to be true or possible? The other thing that she did while she was in running through Virgo and lingering was opposing, of course, the Neptune in Pisces and Saturn in Pisces. So there's this recalibration also of what's your vision for your reality of having your nurturing nourishment needs met? How does that work for you? And what's, again, the new dream, the new vision? What's kind of juicy about the Virgo piece is that it also trined Pluto three times over in Capricorn. So the earth-to-earth energy, Virgo to Capricorn, in our bodies, in our structures, whatever. The trine to Pluto means ease and grace with the changes and the transformation. So it still seems kind of rooted in changing your consciousness and what you believe is necessary for you so that you can go forward. So I put next level outcome as she moves through Scorpio, September to November. First thing in is trining Saturn in Pisces, which is the ease and grace. That's happening on fall equinox, 9/20. Well, equinox is 9/22, but, you know, in the zone. And trining Neptune in Pisces, November 13th. So that's 2 months apart. First, we recalibrate and rebirth. Basically, Scorpio's the conception point. We're conceiving the new reality and the new dream around our personal, you know, Sirius zone here. And then, because she's in Scorpio, that final hit with Jupiter is October 16th. Now, I'm giving you these dates because they're good prayer days. You can light a candle, put a glass of water, write out a petition about these things, asking your guides to help you, pull some cards, do what you do, right? And then, once she's in Scorpio, the ease and grace of the change we had with the retrograde is shifting to an opportunity to gain some traction with your rebirth, with moving forward. So we like that. And then I thought it was interesting. I didn't really include Venus and Mars or Mercury with the rest of them because those are personal planets and everybody's buzzing around and we could be here all night. But it was interesting because as she moves through Scorpio, remember, this is the outcome after the review. She's going to sextile Venus in Virgo October 27th. That's an opportunity to gain traction in your feminine, Virgo to Scorpio. This means birthing the new rhythms and routines that we're conceiving now. And then she's going to go on to conjunct, which is an initiation, Ceres once in 5 years, Mars once in 2 years, your sacred masculine, sacred feminine around nurturing needs at 29 Scorpio, which is a powerful degree, on November 23rd. That's a huge prayer day, y'all. That's huge. And so who you are and what you want, getting a rebirth, rebirthing, again, how you nurture and like to be nurtured in a completely new way. Like, again, conceive something new. Right now you've got about 2 months to play with that before the initiation hits. And then it's going to conjunct Mercury in Scorpio on November 4th and oppose Uranus in Taurus November 4th. So November 4th is a big day. I just think there's another rebirth of consciousness. Mercury is how you think on your micro personal level, right? And Uranus is awakening, cracked open, new levels. Your Scorpio or opposite from Taurus, you're seeing something really clearly. Like usually the way I describe that is we're 180 degrees from our starting point looking back. And now you're looking straight at where you started and you can see things you could not see coming around the bend of the circle. Okay. So that's what's happening there. And that has to do with your thinking and ideas and creativity and self-expression and, again, how you present things in a certain way. So that's Sirius. And we have some divinations that are so juicy. I basically am keeping each one together so that we all don't get confused. What I did is release and reclaim for each. So where Sirius is concerned and where we've done this release in the Virgo Libra department, we're going to reclaim in the Scorpio department. And this was really powerful. For my numbers people, we are releasing number 19, Long Bubby Susie. She represents shame in the African Goddess Rising card. So these will be in the PDF attached to the postcard goodies, and you'll get to see these gorgeous pictures. Again, numbers people, number 19. Shadow of Shame. This is the people from Belize. The temple is shadows. The element is fire. This goddess keeps the children of Belize terrified. Viewed as a shadow monster, she has the power to kill or to nurture with her long, scary breath that contain milk and poison. This beautiful Afro-Indigenous spirit may be a distortion of the original Taíno moon goddess, Akabe. The guidance says you are beautiful and loved. Every part of you and your journey is beautiful, even the ugliest moments. You have a heart, soul, and breath that makes you beautiful. The embodiment says you are secretly scared that you are not enough. Shame is lying on you, okay? You are not broken, unlovable, ugly, or unworthy. Shame keeps you small and hiding. Accept yourself now. You are a bright light. Allow yourself to see who you really are. You are doing the very best you can. You are lovable, and you are complete. I always say you are perfect, whole, and complete the way God made you. And the declaration of the goddess says, I am protected. So as we cleared shame around our own systems for living and our relationships with others and whatever we've been through that's broken us up and got us twisted, now we're healing all that so that we can be whole. And hopefully as whole and getting more whole, we go into relationships and collaborations better, right? That all works better when you go in whole, for real. We're reclaiming with Sirius, moving through Scorpio number 5 for my numbers people. This is Buya Nahanda, and she represents radical rebirth. Oh, man, she's bad. She got, oh, nice. And 5 is my number, so I love it. Zimbabwe, the Shona people, temple of the ancestors, element of air. So born around 1840, this person channeled an ancient royal lion spirit named Nahanda, who has been incarnated by revolutionary Shona women for at least 500 years. Heralded by grandmother Nahanda, this great ancestress was a healer who declared war against colonial occupation. Ashe, let it go. So the guidance says, yes, you can. Stop the struggle. You can choose at any moment to start over and be reborn. Like the sun, you rise again and again. Embodiment says, dust yourself off, move forward, and go for it again. Life is about transition and change. You will fall on your face, change your mind, and need to make a comeback again and again and again. Release the idea that you messed up if things aren't perfect. Stop waiting to be ready. Make new choices and decisions. And the declaration says, still I rise. We love that one. That's our guidance for Sirius. Like we said, she's the goddess of agriculture and the Eleusinian rites and the earth mother. And she helps us around those polarities of anger and compassion. So be very compassionate with yourself as you go through this radical rebirth as she moves through Scorpio, September, October, November. Powerful support as we do our ancestor work too, by the way, y'all. Access to all the mother's mothers, the great mothers. So know that that support is with us for the rest of the year too. Now we move to Vesta, who is the quickest of them all. She has a 4-year cycle. The rest of them are pretty much 5 years. And her issues are around personal integration, work, focus and commitment, devotion, sacrifice, alienation, and a whole range of sexual complexes, denial to fear of intimacy, all of it, right? She's the goddess of the hearth fire and known as the priestess. The signs that go with her are Virgo and Scorpio. So you can see how That personal integration, work, commitment, and focus, very Virgo. Devotion and sacrifice, very Scorpio. And all the sexual stuff wrapped up in Scorpio for sure. So we can know when we're dealing with Vesta, we're dealing with, the way I usually describe her, is that she's the part of us that's the sacred individual, the virgin who is whole unto herself. That's you. So that's why it's important for you to know her and know what she's near, because whatever she's near is usually going to make you focus pretty much to the exclusion of other things. So like I told you, my Vesta Saturn conjunction means I'm constantly working. I'm constantly building something. I'm constantly trying to bring something into form. And all of it is sacred. All of it. It's all tied to my identity and purpose too. So I can't get away from it. It's like all intertwined. That's what Vesta does. Her symbols are the eternal flame or the altar fire, again with the torch. And her, okay, I was going to tell you this funny story. Her animal is the donkey. So Shanta Gabriel and I used to do retreats in Mount Shasta all the time because that's where she lived. Now, she left the mountain and moved to the beach of Martha's Vineyard, and I moved from the beaches of Florida to the mountains of Colorado. So we switched places. But one day we went on a hike, and we drove up to this place, and then we hiked, and we came back, and we were driving down from the hike. It's a very crazy, tiny, rocky edge of a mountain road, like dangerous. So we're going very slow. We're like not no foot on, no gas pedal. And these donkeys get in the way, and they won't get out of the way. And they block us, so we have to stop. But the one sticks his head in past Shanta, the driver, to practically kiss me on the head and, like, is all in my face like they knew me. So we all had to trip, go back and look up donkey medicine. And actually, at the moment, I don't remember what it was, but it was good medicine. But it was crazy because it was like it was some spirit that absolutely knew me, and it wouldn't get its head out of the car. And it was just crazy, y'all. It was crazy. So I don't know how many of y'all have a donkey story, but I thought that was pretty rare and special. Oh, there was a line in the book that I wrote on the side here, y'all, that I just really liked. They said that Vesta was integrating our personal circuitry. That's deep. Okay, again, when you go back to that virgin whole unto themselves thing, we get to rebirth over and over every 4 years with Vesta. And her polarities are devotion versus fanaticism. So we can, again, kind of cross that line into extremes with her. So we got to pay attention and try to keep her balanced. Now, what she's doing... And the other reason I started with these two is because it's very personal. To me, this is personal. This is you, the individual. When we get to Pallas, it's kind of your wisdom and unique genius and healing capacities. And Juno is definitely relationships and dealing with other people. So those two just seem to have more to do with other people, and these two have more to do with you. But here, she's in a process from June of 2023, which we're right here, we're in it, to June of 24, a whole 1 year lingering in Gemini Cancer. And I know a couple of y'all got the Gemini Cancer. I know a couple of y'all got that Virgo Libra. So I know that this is resonating and hitting, ringing bells, because she's lingering in these zones in your chart, asking you to make things sacred again and to check in around your personal integration, personal work, and anything that's going on in your, let's say, intimate area, your intimate life. But Gemini Cancer, as she moves through there, I usually describe her as saying Vesta's making things sacred again. So communication and self-expression in Gemini becoming sacred again, but we got to do a reset. And moving through Cancer, lingering in Cancer, is making, again, that self-care and nurturing, taking care of yourself, knowing your limitations, knowing your personal needs. You know, what is that line? Know what you need, ask for what you want. Know what you want, ask for what you need. Sometimes I believe in knowing what you want and asking for what you need, personally, because I don't think people can know what your needs are. I think you need to tell people that. But I also think you need to know what you want going into things so that you're not disappointed, and that helps. So Vesta's getting us real clear on what's sacred about our communication and self-expression and our self-care and our nourishment and nurturing capabilities here again. So in the Cirrus, it's nurturing in that maternal way, like taking care of things, the agriculture. Think agriculture. You want things to grow and blossom and come into fruition, right? But when we are doing it here with Vesta, it's deeper. It's, again, it's more you, the individual. Virgo and Scorpio are the priestess on the mountain, isolated, doing it alone. That's the way that goes. The retro rewire, as I've been calling it, As she moves through Gemini, just imagine she's going to square off with the Saturn, Neptune, and Pisces. So there's this challenge to the reality and the dream that we're calling in, where we have to recalibrate internally. We have to do our personal integration work, or this isn't going to happen. If we don't handle the inside, the outside is never going to manifest. That's all I know. And at the same time, we have some opportunities with the North Node now in Aries. On August 30th, we got a little hit, which isn't too long ago. That was just 2 weeks ago, y'all. So Vesta to the North Node, the sacred path, the new direction that honors you, the sacred individual. You know, what's going on there? Did you wake up to something new in the last 2 weeks around that? Now, I made some notes here about the North Node, life path and direction, because she's going to do some back-to-back things here, but it's going to be more in 2024. So this first hit, while she's retrograde in Gemini, is a total recalibration so that you can gain those opportunities on the path to express yourself at a higher level and to honor your individual needs. But then she's going to be retrograde in Cancer, and that's going to square the North Node in Aries. That's a challenge, which means, again, we might need to face up to certain health things or what's going on with the quality nutrient. Maybe, again, with the supply chain, food might be hard to get the way we need it. So let's everyone do what we can. That hit of the challenge of Vesta to the North Node, Cancer to Aries, is going to happen May 13th of 2024. And then she's going to come out of it all, going through Leo, and trine the North Node. So we go from an opportunity to a change and a challenge to grow out of our comfort zone into new territory so that we can get to the blessing, okay, the ease and grace, which is July 12th of 2024. So see why circling back in the spring is going to be useful, and we'll get some reminders. But this is the process, right? This is the retro rewire. This is the process she's helping us with. By the same token, while she's moving through Cancer, she's going to square that Chiron in Aries. Right? Only once, though. She's not like going over back and forth like she is with everybody else. So there, let's just say June 1st, 2024 is a good prayer day for healing what's sacred to you, the individual, to healing your identity and purpose in a deep, deep, deep way. That's going to be a powerful reset, let's just say. And then I took some notes on Mars with her, because Mars is who you are and what you want, so we're back to kind of the sacred individual again, right? And as she moves through Gemini, she's going to oppose Mars and Sag on New Year's Eve, so we can plan for that one. So again, you're going to be feeling into that opposition. You're going to be feeling into micro to macro consciousness, how you think and operate on your individual level, and what is the story that you're telling with the choices you're making out in the world, and how does it really reflect your desires and your truth and who you are and what you want. You know, we're changing our mind on something now early in the year, let's say January, February, because then March, she trines Mars, who's moved on to Aquarius. So now she's still in Gemini, but Mars has moved on into another air sign. So there's this ease and grace as you recalibrate your ideas and thinking around what's sacred to you and what part of yourself is sacred that you need to honor better and more often and more consistently. And we're thinking about the contribution to the world, because Mars is action and choices too, right? So we're making this sacred, we're choosing this sacred path. We're creating this sacred reality. We're cultivating a sacred dream on new levels and a new story to tell, right? A new narrative to live into. But then she's going to move through Cancer, and Mars will have got up to Aries, and that's going to be a challenge, because now it's going to mean we have to make some very new choices and decisions come May 26th of 2024. So just know that who you are and what you want is getting a little bit of an upgrade too, around what's sacred and how you make your choices moving around. That means you really got to think about the life path and direction, the reality and purpose, and who you are and what you want, and how you can work in the commitment and focus that is needed to get to the graduation, basically, to get to the success side of things. Now, I have to just say, as an aside here, in the Venus Circle, starting next month, Cinnamon Rose is joining us to go narrow and deep on basically this whole range of sexual complexes that comes up around sexuality and sensuality. And so we're going very deep in the Venus Circle with that in a way we never have before. And so anyone that is looking for some support and guidance for your intimate life and your sex life and your love life, this cycle with Venus is going to be very powerful, and we have some extra juju going deep on that particular subject. So reach out directly if you want to do that. Now, the next level, all that's the rewire, right? All that's the lingering in Gemini Cancer. That means she's going to come out and go into Leo basically June to August of 24. So see how we're way ahead of time right now, y'all. And that's why circling back in the spring will be good. But I'm just giving you a heads up that the next level outcome for what's sacred to you is that being authentic self, your unique individual contribution, you know, what is your unique genius that you want to share with the world? What would we be remiss without? And as she moves through Leo, this was kind of deep because she's just got a few things happening. She's going to oppose Pluto in Aquarius, so there's this transformation that's going to happen in June. And then July, we have opportunity with Jupiter in Gemini. That's going to be a powerful upgrade to the story. So it's almost like we have to transform and transcend first. Then we upgrade the story. Then we have some ease and grace on the path. And that's all June, July. And then August, it's going to square off Leo to Taurus with Uranus in Taurus, August 18th. So that's a big one where we're going to have to grow. Something's going to change, y'all. Just be ready. Be ready by next summer, this time next year, right? We're right there, about a year away from all this. But ultimately, there is going to be some ease and grace with that Leo to Aries with Chiron and the North Node in Aries. So that's good juju with the fire zone. So again, if we can recalibrate our thinking and our feelings, our thoughts and feelings, and what's sacred to you, the individual, what's really important, and how has that been upgraded now to go forward and express in all new ways. And then we have our divinations for this one. This is release grief, number 29, and reclaim feeling safe, number 4. Who are our ladies? So we're going to release grief with Allah. Miss Allah looks pregnant under the moon. Number 29, she's gorgeous. They're all gorgeous. She's the goddess of grief, the Igbo people of Nigeria, the temple of lovers, the element of bush. Ancient Earth Mother Allah is the foremost deity. She oversees motherhood, fertility, and the afterlife. After death, humans return to the womb of Allah, replanted in the soul to reincarnate. The guidance says, give spirit your grief. Bawl it out, wail it out, cry it out, sob, shriek, shed tears, and surrender it to Mama. You are holding unprocessed grief. You want to skip over it and get back to normal, but grief doesn't go away because you ignore it. The only way to healing is to walk through it. Losing a loved one is the ultimate heartbreak, but you also experience grief after breakups, job loss, and disappointments. Self-love and self-care are required. Ask for support. Be gentle with yourself. The Goddess Declaration says, I am supported by my loved ones, those who are seen and those who are unseen. That's our invisible team and our actual team. But here's what we're releasing from this work of her retrograde through Gemini Cancer. We're going to let go of some of this grief. Think about your thoughts and feelings and the grief work going on there. And then we're going to reclaim Miss Tatuba. Feeling safe, number 4 for my numbers people. She's from Barbados, Temple of the Ancestors, Element of Air. Great Ancestress Tatuba was an enslaved Caribbean woman who was the first person accused in the 1692 Salem witch trials. She was most likely kidnapped from the Guyana region in South America and then sold through a Barbados plantation. So the guidance says, it is finally safe to be you. You have wandered through a dark night. Your trip has been long. There is light ahead. Your liberation is apparent. Okay, your liberation is apparent. Thank you, God. The embodiment says you deserve to feel secure. Feeling safe is knowing that your basic needs are met. Feeling safe is feeling at home in your body. Feeling safe is trusting your journey. Feeling safe is feeling free around those you love. Feeling safe is trusting that the sun will rise again. If you grew up emotionally, spiritually, or physically unsafe, reset your default expectations to a healthier vibration. Ashe. The declaration says, I am safe. It is safe to be safe. Yes, 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 yes. So So with Vesta, like I said, it's where we get violated on that deep, deep level. So that's why there might be some grief, and there might be some ways where we put our guard up, and like I said, we kind of do things and exclude others where Vesta is concerned. You know, like I'm perfectly happy alone between the Aries and Virgo in me. I'm happy to be up on the mountain. But I love my family, and I'm glad that I created it. At the same time, there is this intentional solitude and a rhythm to that that has to happen for my health and well-being. And so know thyself. Okay, these two will be faster because they don't have as many activations or details because, like I said, so much is going to be happening next year. Pallas is a 5-year cycle. Her issues are around what I always call your unique genius, healing capacity, and prismatic perspective. The issues show up around learning, creativity, arts, politics, competition, alienation again, fear of success. This is deep. She's the goddess of wisdom and justice and the protectress of the states. And so with those things in mind, the signs most associated with Pallas are Libra, Leo, and Aquarius. That's two air and a fire sign. So, you know, that unique genius is totally Aquarius. Prismatic perspective, Aquarius. Learning and creativity, the arts, Libra. Politics could be either one of them. Competition, Leo for sure. Alienation, probably Leo. Fear of success, Leo. You know, so again, you can practice with the signs as well to try to remember what Pallas is good for. Her symbols are the owl and the serpent. We love them. The olive tree and the shield and spear together. So, again, you might see those things out in the world for my symbols people who see in pictures and hear and see and sense and all your clairs. Your clairs are activated, clairvoyant, clairaudient, clairsentient, all that. That is where she can help you the most because, like I said, she's the one that's really sharp. Now, I have here past and future and then current. So, basically, current starts in November. So, we're going to look a little back a little here. Just to feel what's gone on around your creativity and arts and different aspects of your unique genius and healing, what's been going on there. September 22 to May of 23, so that's 9 months. Most of these are like 9 or 10 months until they go a whole year. It's crazy. So this one's 9 months where she retrograded in Cancer. So she just lingered, Pallas, and actually was asking us to tap into the wisdom of our body, your gut instincts, to recalibrate your boundaries so that that empath part of you isn't overwhelmed by what other people are going through. All September 22 to May 23. So that's just a couple months ago where that ended. As of May, June, she moved through Leo. July, August, she moved through Virgo. September, October, she moves through Libra. So right where she is now, Pallas and Libra is what's happening this week. September 13th, yesterday, she moved into Libra. But the reason it's relevant is because she's about to go in to retrograde through Scorpio Sag. And she's going to linger there for another 10 months. Actually, it's a full year, November to November. November 23 through November 24, she's going to be lingering in Scorpio Sag. So, quick rewire happening there is that in Sag, she's going to go, it's crazy. It's crazy. She's hitting Pluto in both signs. So basically, she and Pluto are going to be moving forward and backwards to connect, which is crazy. But it isn't an opportunity, which is so powerful. We're going to get to gain some traction with this transformation of our unique genius, healing capacity, learning, creativity, all that good stuff, right? So with Pluto, we get to transform, transcend, transmute. While she's in Scorpio, Pluto will be in Capricorn. That's a sextile. Earth and water working well together. While she's in Sag, she'll get with Pluto in Aquarius. That's air and fire. So we cover all the elements too, y'all. That means we can transform on every level, activate our wisdom on every level, call it in from all four directions to be channeled through you for your unique genius. I love it. While she's in Scorpio, she's going to trine that Saturn, Neptune, and Pisces, which means an opportunity to rebirth the reality and the vision. And she's going to oppose the Jupiter, Uranus, and Taurus. So you know how we're changing our consciousness in Taurus across from what's wise and healing and what's going to make us whole again in Scorpio. So again, conception point, conceiving. Oh, I'm not sure I said her polarities are fear and courage. I think I forgot to say that earlier when we were talking about the signs and the symbols. Her polarities are fear and courage. So again, with that wisdom, going within to know your inner knowing. And one of the things they say while she's going through Scorpio is that she's got X-ray vision. You know, moving through Sag, she's got this higher vision. It's going to be a powerful road, like we said, going in about 2 months. So we're in preparation for that. And then for here, and I have a little note on the side here that says more in March. So we'll talk about the outcome and the next level there, which will be when she leaves Scorpio Sag and starts moving through Capricorn. That's going to be powerful, y'all, because that means we'll be able to really bring some things into form and get to that next level in a good way that will support us for years to come. But we got to do the healing first. We got to do the integration first, all that good stuff. So now the guidance for Miss Pallas, we got to release number 24, self-sabotage, is Mamlambo. And we're going to reclaim Level Up with Queen Ya Ashante Wa, number 39. So 24 and 39 from our numbers, people. Mamlambo, Zulu Nation, Temple of Shadows, Element of Bush. Shadow Monster Mamlambo is the brain-sucking, snake-like, water-dwelling Zulu goddess of rivers. The shadow guidance says you are holding yourself apart from your blessings. This is what we're releasing, y'all. What ancient pain are you trying to stuff down, numb, ignore, or avoid? What does your self-sabotage help you to avoid? Deep breath. Embodiment says your inner saboteur is clever. Seductive patterns of behavior block your path and your power. Distractions, addictions, cravings, and unhealthy habits will not bring you your best. Your inner bully is the voice telling you that you messed up, the part of you that is jealous, the anger you don't know what to do with, your stuck inner procrastinator, and your toxic relationship choices. Stop terrorizing yourself with broken promises of discipline. Ooh, that's a big one. Instead, choose devotion to your chosen pathways. What inspired action can you take today? And the declaration says, I have compassion for myself. Okay, so broken promises of our discipline. Well, I do talk a lot about keeping your word to yourself. You know, we keep our word to everybody else. We need to keep our word to ourselves. So we're clearing that out with Miss Pallas as she moves through Scorpio Sag. That's going to be a powerful let go of old self-sabotage. That'll be useful. Then we're going to reclaim with Queen Ya Ashante Wa to level up number 39. She is Ashanti Ghana, Temple of the Queens, Element of Bush, and the mother, farmer, and warrior queen who led the War of the Golden Stool. The Golden Stool, a throne of the Ashanti Empire, holds the region's Kra, which is life force energy. The guidance says, raise your standards, Ashe. A leap forward for one is a leap forward for the tribe. Your choices can raise the frequency of your community and the planet. Yes. Please, today. Embodiment says, time to level up. This is your season for a quantum leap. You have prepared for this. Life does not have to be linear, and neither does growth, Ashe. A quantum leap feels drastic and huge, but the secret is that quantum leaps happen little by little. So what inspired action helps you level up? Connecting to spirit with rituals, movement, meditation, and visualization is a great start. The declaration says, divine timing is on my side. So you can also claim right timing for you, the individual. Deep breaths. And the last one is Miss Juno, another 5-year cycle. She's the divine consort and the wife, sacred wife, where we do our commitments. Again, all of these are about commitments and different things. But she's about, her issues are compatibility, mutual sharing, trust, receptivity to others, jealousy, possessiveness, and power struggles. So most of the time, she's the goddess of marriage, the queen of the heavens, and the triple moon goddess. That's what Juno's known for. Her polarities are intimacy and manipulation. So what I was about to say is that most of the time, she does represent our intimate relationships, like the goddess of marriage, right? But you can see power struggles comes in. It's any kind of partnerships, y'all. To me, she's any kind of partnerships, including and leading with maybe the intimate parts. So for her, her signs are Libra Scorpio. So we're all very familiar there. Compatibility, mutual sharing, trust, you know, that's all Libra. The jealousy, possessiveness, and power struggles might be Scorpio. Her symbols are crown, veil, the scepter, the birds, peacock and cuckoo, the cow, another sacred animal, pomegranate, and the rainbow. That's all interesting. So keep an eye out for symbols that represent Juno, the divine wife. Now, I have notes here for past, future, and retro rewire. The past was April 22 to January 23. She spent 9 months in Pisces. Oh, I know why I wrote this down. Because from October 23 to August 24, which is just next month, y'all, she's going to linger in Virgo. So I just thought it was interesting that in 22, she retrograded in Pisces, and in 24, she's going to retrograde in Virgo. So we're getting the recalibration around our relationships and partnerships, intimate and otherwise, around, again, what's healthy for you, the individual, and what feeds your spirit and supports both your body and spirit, right? How does that work? And you want to also think about following your intuition and being practical with these relationship choices. So recalibrating in Virgo means, first of all, let's just say recalibrating in Pisces was upgrading the vision. So we spent April 22 to January 23 upgrading the vision of what we would like to have, the dream of what we would like to have in partnership. But now we're going to have to do the work on ourselves to get right to magnetize that partnership. It ain't just going to pop out of nowhere. We got to go do some work and get whole again, get healthy again. And then what I always say, I call that outcome and next level, it'll be when she moves through Libra and you can actually attract that mate, right? Or that partnership, collaboration, whatever it is, right? That's going to be powerful. While she's doing that in Virgo, she's going to sextile that Saturn and Neptune in Pisces, right? So again, with the reality and the dream, getting an opportunity to upgrade what's healthy for you, the individual. But she's going to trine the Jupiter-Uranus thing in Taurus because that's Earth to Earth. So we can upgrade our body work. We can get ourselves together in certain ways. We can start calling in a new story around the relationships we want. We can change with ease and grace. I don't know how many of y'all, but I had to break some pretty crazy patterns to attract the divine mate I got now. So there's this upgrade, this break the realign, this awakening, cracking the open thing that's going to happen as you heal certain aspects of yourself and how you do partnership, what you want in partnership, and what's healthy for you in partnership, right? So the guidance for this, and we will be done. We can open for comments and questions. So here we're going to release number 22, resistance, and reclaim number 3, grounding. So we're releasing resistance with Gangang Sarah. Love her. She's beautiful too. Tobago. I don't know. I say it Tobago. Temple of Shadows, Element of Bush. She's another shadow goddess, the Witch of Golden Lane. Blew into Tobago on a determined breeze from West Africa to emancipate her family. The shadow guidance says, "You are scared that you're going to mess it all up. You may have stumbled, but this is a new day. Learn to show up for yourself." The embodiment says, "You ghost your own dreams and resist your own magic. Stop holding back, worrying, and pretending to seek perfection that will never come, Ashe. We don't need it perfect, we need it whole." That's the difference in Virgo. That nitpicky perfection piece of Virgo, we're not doing that. The wholeness, the rhythm, the patterns that work, that function well, that keep us healthy and whole. That's the Virgo we're going for. When it comes to you stepping into your greatness, resistance keeps you stuck. Resistance blocks growth, creativity, and evolution. Resistance may look like procrastination, laziness, disorganization, excuses, or lack of motivation. But there are deeper forces at play. You are resisting the force that you really are. We never want to do that. The declaration says, "This is me, and I show up, Ashe." So that's our release, releasing resistance and reclaiming our grounding. Number 3, another sacred number, Sate. Sate is from South Africa, Temple of the Ancestors, Element of Bush. You may know the great ancestress as Sarah Bartman, the woman forced to perform as the Hotstrot Venus in 19th century London. But before that, she was a girl in South Africa who deserved better. Her guidance says, protect your magic. Your heart is your own. Your body is your own. Your mind is yours. Your truth and story are your own. Be rooted in your truth. Create healthy boundaries. Yes, that's another good Virgo thing. The embodiment says, your energy is unsteady. Breathe. Come into the present. Say out loud, I am here. I would add here that in this moment, I am okay. I'm just fine. In this moment, always be present. Trauma, stress, overwhelm, anxiety, and fear disconnect you from your body. Grounding keeps you present. When you feel rootless or unsettled, come back to your breath. Meditation and breath work are grounding. Try earthing, which is connecting your feet to the soil. Free writing, clapping, stomping, and rubbing your hands together are all grounding. The declaration says, I am firmly planted and deeply rooted, Ashe. Yes, and that is what will help us. Again, if we're whole, our relationships are going to be that much stronger, and Juno can really help us with commitments and collaborations going forward. So that is it for my presentation, everyone. Does anyone want to star six and unmute yourself and ask a question, make a comment?
Hey, it's Tanita. You know, I always have to come in and say you did such a great job, as always. And what I was realizing as you were talking, I was like, because I didn't know much about the asteroids, but, you know, Kim and I chat all the time, and she was kind of sort of breaking them down. But what I love about this, what you really brought home, is, like, what I realized as you were naming the different dates that had already passed, and I thought about what had been going on in my life during that time, is that these are really the details of these major shifts of planets. So we get the major shift of planetary energy, and then these asteroids come in, and what you really feel, that, like, they were describing things I only put in my journal. You were describing things that I only put in my journal over the last year or so about how I was feeling internally. So I was just like, so these asteroids really cover, like, those tiny little details that you think is just due to the overarching energy of the planets, but it's actually these asteroids. And I was like, it's starting to come together.
That is what I meant when I said they fill in the blanks of the bigger picture,
yes.
Right? That's what I meant by that language. But exactly, same thing. Yes. I'm so glad that you caught that. Thank you so
love
much.
That.
Anything
You're
else?
Welcome.
Yeah. Because I know you might have some bullets. You got anything else?
You know I do, girl. But
okay,
I realized, too, what I also realized was that especially as it pertains to, so I don't really have a lot of Cancer in my chart, except I recently realized, because my moon is in Capricorn, that the opposite of that would be Cancer. And I've been feeling it because I've been paying attention now, right? I've been paying attention from Venus Circle to just dropping in on some of your other calls, listening to your weekly podcast. I was just like, okay, now I'm starting to see places where I have not grieved. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like,
that's probably for all of us.
In me, that I have not grieved, or that I have not acknowledged, or that there is internal rage. Because of the way my chart is set up, I tend to rage around things that make me sad before I realize that I'm not actually angry, I'm just sad.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's another thing that these asteroids really covered. I was just like,
I love it. I love it. It's so helpful. I love these ladies. They've changed my life too, honey. Yes.
Absolutely. Big deal. I love it. Thank you.
All right, darling. Anyone else want to star six and unmute yourself? Otherwise, I'll let you go. Better catch me while you can. Now I'm taking a break for October, November, because I'm so caught up with Yay and ancestor work that I didn't want to overbook myself. But I'll be back in December because we got to talk about 2024's Mercury retrograde through Earth and Fire. All right, y'all. I will let you go.
Thank
so
you.
Much love and gratitude. Thank you. Be well.